from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
So we talked a lot about Brock Purdy, and the inspiration for it was this concept of the window is closing. Must win Super Bowl now. Window is closing. When someone says that, what I hear, even though the words aren't there, what I hear is you're not actually that into Brock Purdy. I'm not saying you say he stinks, because he doesn't. Like, that's just objectively false. But you're not that into it. And the 60 mil or whatever it's going to be is sort of like obligatory. Because if you think the window is closing as your franchise quarterback turns 24, what are we talking about? No, the window is just starting to open. I would argue, and I know that people will, but wait a minute, like, the window's been open. They've been dancing around in the Super Bowl for, you know, or near it for 6 years. So then I could respond and go, well, then wouldn't you believe in Kyle Shanahan more and whatever's going to happen in the post-Kittle, post-Debo, post-Trent era? Like, they've always been able to kind of cobble a roster together that's interesting. So anyway, that debate goes back and forth. And we got a call earlier today. And he goes, it was Pat in Foster City. And he goes, yeah, like Brock, kind of like Draymond. And here was the question I wanted to ask you out of that. Let's say that that's true, meaning Brock would not be as good with any other team. It's sort of circumstantial that he's good. Yet we can all agree for this team, he's really important. All right, so what do you do? What's the right thing to do in that situation? I hear a lot of people still mad that Draymond Green got another contract. I know that that's now, not so much over the whole decade. But if you've got a guy that's like only kind of awesome and great for you, but not in the open market, couldn't I argue, so what? You don't have to hire Brock for any other team.
Exactly.
You only have to hire him for you. So if it's great for you, then that's it, right?
That's it. And I don't really understand the Draymond comp other than, you know, the idea that... Well, I do. I don't agree with it. So
okay,
Draymond's
that's fair.
Only good because he plays in this system with Steph and in this culture, and that's the argument, and I don't believe that.
Okay, and that's fair.
Would he be a four-time champion? Probably not. He's a four-time champion because they are four-time champions. You know what I mean?
Totally. There's always been the argument, though, that Draymond Green, if you put him on the open market, would not get contract offers from other teams that he'd get from the Warriors, because Draymond Green would not be as valuable for other teams as he is to the Warriors.
Right now, if you want to go back to when he was in the Brock Purdy portion of his career and Draymond Green was 27, and let's say Draymond was a free agent after they had won their third title, and he decided, I'm going to go out in the market. And they just went back-to-back with KD, and then they lost the year when Klay and KD both got hurt. And at that point, you know, KD's leaving, and Klay's out for a couple of years, and Draymond's going to go be a free agent. At that point, when he still was 30, 29, 30, 31.
It's not that long ago.
5 years ago.
Is he that old? He's not that old.
No, but it was that long ago
okay,
when Klay got hurt. And I'm just saying that if Draymond would have gone out to the market at that point, you're damn right he would have gotten those offers. See, I think now...
I don't know.
If Draymond, when he got this latest contract, it was different. He had already punched Poole, and his body had started breaking down, and his reputation had been changed more than it was at that time. And that's why I think the comp is not accurate, because Brock Purdy... Right now, he's on the ascent, and we don't know just how good he can still possibly be.
Well, for sure, and I don't. There's no way for me to argue what Draymond would have gotten if this were when he was 28 years old. But I think that that label has always followed him, whether you think it's a comp to Purdy or not. I do agree that the label has always followed Draymond. He's more valuable to the Warriors than he would be to anybody else.
And I agree with that.
Yeah, that's always followed him. And I think that that is a budding thought to some about Brock.
Agreed.
Right?
Well, I think that the association with his teammates and with the laminated play sheet with Shanahan and the team culture and all the rest of it, yeah. And it's such a small sample right now that we don't know yet what Brock will be without McCaffrey, Kittle, Debo, Trent, and Ayuk.
Well,
I think where this conversation lies, because there is the people who think, well, once Brock has to play with common folk, you're going to see him exposed. And then there are the other people, and I'd put you in this camp, that think, well, whoever he has around him, he's still a damn good quarterback, and I believe that Brock will win.
Well, and it's also, it's not even just that. It's that I do believe, even if the 49ers don't have great drafts between now and 2027, they're not going to go 0-for. They're not going to get zero players out of the next four drafts. So, like, our minds go, but Debo's getting old, and Kittle's getting old, and Trent's going to retire. Right. The Niners know that. They're going to try to put other people in those positions.
Someone will play left tackle.
Yes, Joe Staley was going to retire, and then they went, I have an idea. Let's go trade for Trent Williams for pennies on the dollar.
When you had, Raheem Mostert go bananas
totally
in a playoff game, and you went out and got Christian McCaffrey anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
He left and you replaced him.
And Brock's not the only one who's more valuable on the Niners than he'd be anywhere else. Greg Cosell said the exact same thing on Ross Tucker's podcast about guess who? Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
He said, if you look at his skill set, he is a perfect fit for what the Niners do. The insinuation is, you're not going to go get 1,300 yards anywhere else. And I agree with that big time. Like, Brandon's a good wide receiver. But do all skill sets travel to all systems? I think no. I'd even argue that Christian McCaffrey, who was phenomenal with the Panthers, he'd better here, though, isn't he? Isn't he better here?
Yeah. They're all better here.
Yeah.
George Kittle, I think, is the ideal example.
Yeah.
George Kittle is an unbelievable blocker, and he fits this system perfectly. And because of the sleight of hand and the play action, he's able to, Kittle down the middle, and he can be such a threat in the pass game, in part because of the scheme of Kyle Shanahan.
Let's take some calls. 888-957-9570. We'd love hearing from y'all. Austin in San Jose. Hey, Austin. We're shaking.
What's up, fellas? Hey, Will, I always appreciate, man, you can really be a guy that rides a certain line and be passionate about something, but you're also willing to accept the other side, which I think is cool, man. In this case, I'm coming from a non-Niners perspective, fan base. And by the way, Dibley, this is an association sensation, by the way.
That's a buck.
Well, I just want to get that in.
We're off to a good start, Austin.
Cha-ching!
Let's talk about Purdy, and here's where I know that I'm going to rub some people the wrong way, and that's what I'm saying is, listen, I love Purdy's is a great story, right? But I think if we project his market value the outside of the Niners, and this is where you guys probably would disagree, and people have talked about $50 million, $60 million, whatever it is. I don't think he's worth that much outside of the Niners. I think he's probably – I think they could probably pay him 30 to 40 and he'd take it. I don't think he's worth any more than that outside of the Niners. And I know that Niner fans think he's the next greatest thing since Joe Montana, but I don't think he is. And I think the talent level, people project his talent, not just what he's doing with the Niners. I think if you look at his talent versus some of the other guys in the league, this is the perception, right? I'm not saying it's reality, but or it's right. I'm just saying this is the perception outside of Niners land. I think you'd have to agree that people don't see him as a super talented guy. They see him as an overachiever within Shanahan's system. Do you guys agree with that or not?
Yes, to a degree, but maybe not to the degree that you're throwing out there. Like, in other words, if you say Brock's not worth 60 on the open market, at least today, again, we got a whole nother season of data to gather, I'm going to agree with that. Like, if you did just say, and by the way, you can't even do this because he, like Brandon Ayuk, next offseason is not a free agent. So the Niners are not going to just be like, we'll just let him walk. But in a mythical world, if we did that, if Brock hit the open market, and Austin, thank you very much.
It's a good call.
If Brock hit the open market right now, what's the number? Well, he said 30 to 40. Now, I mean, you're underneath Daniel Jones.
Yeah, that's a little low.
You are bottom half of the league and underneath Daniel Jones at $35 million. I don't even think you're Derek Carr. What did Derek get? What did Derek get when let's see here, quarterback contracts and salaries. Okay, here we go. I got it right here in front of me. The average annual, Derek Carr is making 37.5. Daniel Jones is making 50 or 40. You want to go down to 33.3? Guess who that is?
Baker Mayfield. Yeah.
Now you're down to 25, which is Geno Smith. So you're essentially saying, I'm going to pay this guy just north of Geno Smith and Baker Mayfield. Now, believe it or not, Dibs, I think there are people listening to us right now, and they're like, yes.
It's about right.
That's about right.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
However, it runs up against the wall of the statistics and the output and the quarterback rating.
And the playoff wins and the rest of it. I do think that at the end of year three, knowing that he is under contract for one more year, that does give the Niners a certain amount of leverage. And you're not going to totally lowball him and offer him 35 or 40. But I do think that fact might keep him from absolutely breaking the bank and resetting the market because they don't. I mean, they don't have to give him an extension. They kind of do because everybody does.
Yeah, you do. You don't mess with this.
You don't mess with it, but at the same time, you don't necessarily have to go absolutely over the top, break the bank. You give him what's near the top of the market.
This is actually what you're making right here, I think, is a phenomenal point. This is a great point.
You made the point before, and I'm kind of blowing from about 8 months ago.
That's why I think it's so great. But I knew it.
Smelled familiar to you.
Well,
like an old T-shirt.
No, you know, I've probably shared this story to you before. This is 1,000 years ago. I was having a conversation about Mike Trout with a sports agent. Not Mike's agent, a different agent. And Mike Trout, thank you, at the time was stuck in that ridiculous baseball arb system.
Yeah.
He's like getting MVP votes. And they're like, he's making $500,000 a year. He's not even making Brock's salary. And the Angels kind of messed with it. Like, he came back the next year. I think he finished second in the MVP. And they're like, oh, we're going to give you a raise. You were making 500 last year. You know what we're going to do for you this year? Attaboy. You played great for us. This year, 600,000. Congratulations, Mike. It's a 20% raise. Go get him. And so I'm talking to an agent about this, and I said, because someone threw out the idea, they're like, why don't you just go to Mike right now? Like, you know this guy's a great player. Why don't you go to him right now, buy out the Arb years, and do one of those, and the Braves are great at this.
Ronald Acuna Jr.,
absolutely.
I'm looking at it right here.
Rock, like, I'll offer him 8 years and $100 million.
That's exactly what he got.
Exactly. And what most people react, the way they react when you say that is, no way in hell he's signing that. He's worth three times that, Mark.
Yeah. Yep.
And I go, I get it. The problem is, in order to get to that $300 million salary, you got to go play. Now, let's see, Mike Trout, has he ever gotten injured before?
As Acuna Jr.
So there you go.
Yep.
And this is not baseball. This is flipping football.
Yep.
So if you go to Brock next year, who's scheduled to make what, $1.1 million?
Ish, yep.
Okay,
yep.
This year, $950,000, something like that. Next year, $1.1. And you go to Brock and you go, well, we got an extension for you. We can make you a rich person for the rest of your life. But, I mean, we could also just play for $1.1 and you can go play 17 more games and I'm sure everything will be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't that lower the value? Because what the agent told me is if they offered me $100 million right now, we'd go, where's the pen?
Exactly.
Because what you're offering a human being is you don't have to worry about money for the rest of your life. You can take a risk if you want, but like what you're saying could factor into Brock's negotiation next year.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And you look at Ronald Acuna Jr., who signed 8 years and $100 million, and he gets $100 million to play baseball. And in fact, even at the time, his projected salary was probably closer to $225 to $250 million. Now, he did get hurt a couple of times.
Yep.
And that would have hindered his ability to go out and get the big deal because he would be in ARB 4 right now had he not signed.
ARB
so they
four.
Bought out three ARB years,
yep.
$49 million for those ARB years, and then he got another $51 million. In 2028, the club has an option. When he's 31 years old, he'll be unrestricted, and then he can go out and do whatever he wants.
Get another 8-year deal if he wants.
For, you know, Brock Purdy, he's in a spot where he can sign a deal and get, even if he gets the Goff contract, $113 million guaranteed at signing. So you sign a deal for five. Let's say he only gets $50 million a year. Five and 250, and 113 of that is totally guaranteed. When the ink dries, he does it.
And you're back on the market before age 30.
Exactly.
You're
or at
back
30, yeah.
on the market
right.
before age 30, and quarterbacks are playing now until they're 40.
And you're going to stay in a system where yeah. you've thrived and all the rest of it. Now, you could say no and play your fourth year option and bet on yourself. And maybe you then go get $65 million a year as the market goes up again. Or bad things could happen,
well,
and you get nothing.
That's what I would have been advising Ayuk all along this offseason, which is like, okay, if you really want to twist everybody's arm about 29 versus 28, you really want to do that, you can do that. I just know the way my brain works, and does it mean at the end of my life I'll have left a dollar or two on the table? Probably. But like, come on. Like, dude, lock it up. You're a football player.
Yeah.
It could all end. Lock it up. It could end in practice tomorrow, Teddy Bridgewater. It can end tomorrow.
Yeah.
Lock it up.
Yeah.
So that may work in the Niners' favor next offseason. I don't know. Again, we've got 17 more games of data to gather, at least. I would imagine more.
Hopefully more.
At least.
If it's only 17, that
18.
Means no playoffs. That means that price goes down.
Yeah, or means he missed three regular season games
it's
and then
possible.
He won the Super Bowl, but...
To your point about the receiver, there are 10 receivers who got $40 million or more guaranteed at signing. So if that's the number, Brandon Ayuk, maybe he's hoping for $40 million guaranteed at signing. And if that's the case, then, you know, you get that, you get it done, and you go play football.
I would think he would get that.
And if he doesn't sign an extension, he has $14.1 million guaranteed this year, assuming he shows up and plays every week.
Jeff in Belmont on Willard and Dibbs. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
I listen to you guys a lot, but I wanted to call today. I just had a couple of observations. I listened about this Brock Purdy stuff, and I'm a Niners fan, but I also look around the league. I think that if Purdy had been drafted in the first round, a lot of this would be a mute point. Because you look at Tua, you look at Trevor Lawrence, they went to big colleges, they came out, were drafted really high. They haven't had nearly the success that Purdy's had, and yet nobody bitches about their contracts. And here, Purdy processes the heck out of the defenses, doesn't yep. have the strongest arm, but he can move around, and he works within a system that Shanahan has given to him, and he plays really, really well. But I just think everybody's waiting for the bucket to all of the water to drop out of the bucket because they just can't believe that somebody got drafted where he did and that can play as well or better than the guys that got drafted in the first rounds. And people just can't come to terms with it. Look at Steve Young. Steve Young played in Tampa Bay and was getting his butt kicked and came to San Francisco and turned into one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. But had he not come to San Francisco, I don't know, and we all don't know, if he would have been the quarterback he is today. Another thing is, we don't really know if Joe Montana, greatest quarterback, if he didn't come to San Francisco and play under Walsh and played under a different system, Montana didn't have the strongest arm. But look what he did under Walsh's system. He played great because Walsh knew how to get out of him what he could. And I think that's the same way with Brock Purdy. And we're just starting to see the tip of the iceberg with Brock Purdy. I think we're in for a real treat to be able to watch him for the next 4, 5, 10 years and to be able to play the way that we all think that he can play. All good teams have to have good players. Montana had good players. Young had good players. You got to have good players around you to be successful.
There's no question. And Jeff, what's really odd, thank you. I mean, I largely agree with most of that. What's really amazing is we're sitting here coming out of what was essentially a 20-year era where a sixth-round draft pick ran the league, but we have this hardest time buying into a seventh-rounder. It's not like it's never happened before, not even close.
And it just happened.
It just happened. And it is the greatest thing that the league has ever known. And but now we can't believe it. But at the same time, I do understand it. You know, this is why you don't mess with the quarterback position, and every single guy, every team, it's always a different story. You know, he mentioned Trevor Lawrence. Now, why does Trevor Lawrence get the new deal? Why? I mean, numbers are fine. I'd argue last year was disappointing.
A little bit of a step back.
A little bit of disappointment. Wasn't bad. Wasn't what we thought it was going to be.
No, it was a step back. And yeah. He got the money because he's good enough. And when you have a quarterback who's good enough, the other option is you throw him out and you start over. And starting over is a lot riskier than taking good enough and paying him a lot and hoping that he gets back to being great.
Well, and our sports ego doesn't like to do this, but we really should acknowledge the surroundings of every great player.
Of course.
You just don't, you don't get to be great, you know, like you need Scottie Pippen and Phil Jackson and Tony Kukoc, and you need all of that.
And the caller mentioned Joe Montana. If it wasn't for Bill Walsh and Roger Craig and Ronnie Lott and Clark and all the rest of them, then who knows what Joe Montana is, right?
Yeah. Good teams produce good players the same way good players produce good teams.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.